The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus went up the mountain and summoned those whom he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, that they might be with him, and he might send him forth to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. He appointed the 12, Simon, whom he named Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, whom he named Boanerges, that is, sons of Thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. The Gospel of the Lord. As what I mentioned at the beginning of this Mass, we are celebrating today the memorial of Saint Agnes, one of the early martyrs of the Church and one of the few saints who actually made it to the Roman canon, you know, the first official canon of the Church. Normally we use the Roman canon as the Eucharistic prayer in high holy feasts and holy days of obligation. And as I was rereading his biography last night, it dawned on me that, yeah, it is on her feast day, actually, that the lambs whose wool would be used to make the pallium of the archbishops in the world, the new archbishop, are actually blessed on her feast day. You know, I don't know if you observe it, but whenever the archbishop celebrates a mass, there is this little decoration that he has in here. It's normally white because it's made of the wool of the lamb. And it's given to every archbishop during the giving. It's called the giving of the pallium. And the material used for that one is blessed by the Pope once a year on the feast day of Saint Agnes today. And the word Agnes, is anyone here named Agnes? No one? Okay. The word Agnes means what? Lamb. You know, that's where we get the Agnus Dei, Lamb of God. You know, Agnes means lamb. And, you know, there is this negativity at times when a person tells you, oh, you're like a lamb. You know, before there is this positive connotation to it, that one is obedient, one is gentle, but also sometimes it connotes in other people's minds negative docility. It's like you don't have a mind of your own. But that is the exact opposite of what Saint Agnes demonstrated to us as we read her life. You know, she was born into a wealthy family during the last decade of the 3rd century. And she lived on the last major persecution of the early church during the time of Emperor Diocletian. You know, you hear the name of Emperor Diocletian in the early periods of the church. At the beginning, this emperor was actually quite friendly with the early church. But towards the end of her rule, towards the end of his rule, he was resolved to wipe out the church in the empire. So it was a very difficult period in the church during the last years of his rule. When Agnes came of age, as the church was beginning to suffer under a set of new laws decreed by Diocletian. And if you read her biography, the thing that they always emphasized was her beauty. She was so beautiful that lots of members of aristocratic family, men, wanted to marry her. And she was resolved at the beginning, I'm gonna give my entire life to Christ. I'm gonna give my virginity to Christ. And she was subjected to so many trials and sufferings just to convince her to give up the kingdom of God. And if one of those things was that Agnes actually was brought to a brothel, you know, so that her virginity would be violated. But God spared her from violating her virginity. When the judge showed her the various punishment he could inflict, including fire, iron hooks, or the rack that destroyed the limbs by stretching, could you imagine? All of these things were actually presented to her. Agnes just smiled and indicated she would suffer them willingly for the sake of the kingdom of God. She just smiled. You know, one of the things that I recall about seeing her image in Rome is you're just drawn to this beauty of this person, but not even the physical, it's the aura of sanctity. Convince as to who summoned her to be the bride for the kingdom. I like the word that was used in the gospel today by Mark, summoned. You know, you don't use that in ordinary relationship. You don't tell someone, hey, I want to talk to you, so I'm summoning you this afternoon. There's a sense of formality, but at the same time, when it's Jesus calling us, there is this great intimacy. That's what discipleship is. You know, sometimes we say, oh, God is calling me to do this. It's just informal. No, there's formality in being part of the kingdom. There are things that we need to accomplish. But it is at the same time personal because it is God who calls us to enter into personal relationship with Him. You know, I hope that's how we see our discipleship. And how beautiful it is to meditate on our discipleship today as we listen to the call of the disciples by looking at the example of Saint Agnes. She was meek like a lamb, but she knows how to put that in context. She was not docile in the negative sense of the word. She was willing to lay her life for the sake of God's kingdom. May we have the courage to live out our discipleship as well. Saint Agnes, pray for us.